Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The song that we sang through it all, it's an old song, but it was written by Andre Crouch. When at about 10 or 11 years old, his father was the pastor of the church and they were without a song leader. And he called Andre up and he said, Andre, he said, if God anoints you, will you lead worship in this church? Will you be our song leader, praise leader? And Andre, as a little boy, said, yes, Daddy, I will. Andre didn't play the piano, didn't sing, didn't do anything. But they prayed for him. And the next Sunday, he got up and he played the piano. And under the inspiration and the unction of the Holy Ghost, he began to play. And if you've never heard Andre Crouch, back in the 70s and 80s, some of you are not that old, but I encourage you to look him up. And he got me through my teenage years. And he went on and he became addicted to cocaine as a Christian. Got addicted to cocaine and his life got out of kilter. And so when he writes that third verse, I've been on the top and I've been on the bottom. And I trust you. I know you're doing something in my life. Andre is dead now. I believe he's in heaven. And God restored him and God restored his ministry. And I can just remember one of his concerts that I was listening to. He said, folks, let's have church. And I'm thinking, yeah, buddy. And that's what I want to do every time we get together. Let's have church. Let's quit the formality and let's have church. Say, so what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, let the Holy Ghost flow. Let the Holy Ghost touch and ignite your heart. If you come in bondage, don't leave that way, for goodness sake. If you come sick, leave healed. If you come poor or hopeless, you leave with hope. Amen. Why would I say that? Because you are in the presence of not a king. You're in the presence of the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is not powerless. He is not limited. He is able to deliver you, to help you in any circumstance of your life. The only thing that's holding you back is you. God wants to deliver you today. Wants to set you free. Amen. Turn your Bibles to chapter 4 of the book of Mark. Chapter 4 of Mark, reading with verse 1. We've titled this sermon, The Mystery of the Sower. It says, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Do you get that picture? He just got in the boat and sat down and took it out just a little way, and you can just imagine his voice sailing through those waters and just magnifying over the water, and such a great crowd is gathered around him to hear what he's teaching them. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in this teaching, he said, listen, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed on the stony ground where it didn't have much soil, didn't have much earth, and it immediately sprang up, but it had no depth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched and had no root, so it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And that's exactly what the Spirit of God is saying right now. He who has ears, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. He said to them, do you understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown when the heart when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes the word that was sown in their hearts. They're likewise the ones that are sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a while. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Father God, we just come before you today. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message of the sower. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give me the words of the Spirit today to be able to teach this in a method that will change our life. Father, we have ears, and Lord, we are in tune with what the Spirit of God says. Lord, no man comes to this place to hear what I think. Lord, they have come to hear what you think. So Lord, I just pray that, Lord, I just yield my voice box to you today. I yield my thoughts, everything about me, Lord. I have no agenda other than your will. So Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. The mystery of the sower. You got to say, thank God the disciples were not real bright. If the disciples had been bright, he wouldn't have broke it down for us, right? He wouldn't have said, here's what this means. And we would have missed it. But the disciples said, Jesus, you got to tell us, what does that parable mean? And he said something very, very important. He said, you got to get this parable. Because this parable is going to unlock to you everything that I will teach you. The rest of the parables are based on this one. You got to get the parable of the sower. That's a word for us, right? In other words, I'm saying pay attention. Your life depends on it. Your life depends on this one. Have you ever met anybody that says, I've tried reading the Word before. I read the Bible and it just doesn't make sense to me. Anybody maybe even said that before? Why? Because it's a mystery. Jesus meant for it to be a mystery. But you know what unlocks the mystery? He does. You see, the word mystery is not the same thing that we think of it today. Mystery to us is, can we solve this? Can we, boy, this is a riddle and we got to get it. No, that's not exactly what it means. It means this wisdom has been concealed, but I'm going to reveal it to you. Remember when Jesus came along and he asked his disciples, he said, who do people say that I am? And they said, well, some people think you're John the Baptist, some people think you're Elijah, and some people think you're just a prophet. And Jesus says, well, I really don't care about that. Who do you say I am? And boy, in an instant, Peter spoke up and he said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him eye to eye and he said, you didn't get that by flesh and blood, but my Father revealed that to you. You understand, that's the mystery. That was a mystery, but for Peter, he got it because God revealed it to him. You see, as a Christian, God wants to reveal these mysteries to you. Paul writes about seven mysteries of the church. I wrote them down for you. In 1 Timothy 3:16, he writes of the mystery of incarnation. What in the world does that mean? Jesus came as a baby. He inhabited flesh. That's the incarnation. And it was a mystery to people. How does that happen? He shows us because we're believers. In Colossians 1, there's a mystery of the indwelling Christ. Nicodemus couldn't get that, remember? Nicodemus was a religious man. Nicodemus was a good Pharisee. And he said, how can I be born again? Can I enter into my mother's womb? Why? His mind didn't get it. Come on, have you heard the truth of God's Word and you think, that doesn't make sense to me? It's a mystery. Until He reveals it. And all of a sudden, it's just like a light bulb goes off in your head, right? All of a sudden, the things that you didn't understand, bam! And you think you're brilliant. You're not that brilliant. That's God. That's God bringing that revelation to you. In Ephesians chapter 3, he writes of the mystery of the church. That's still a mystery to some people. Look around you. In Romans chapter 11, he writes the mystery of the blindness of Israel. In other words, why did Israel not get it? I mean, these are people of the law. These were people that understood. They knew Jehovah. Why could they not accept the Messiah? It's a mystery. Can I just share with you? It's still a mystery, but God's getting ready to reveal it to Israel. I believe that one of the last time, one of the end time things that we're going to see is that mystery get unfolded. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we have the mystery of the revelation of the Antichrist. That's already there. I missed 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the mystery of the rapture of the church, which I think is soon. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. 2 Thessalonians, the mystery of the revelation of the Antichrist, and the spirit of Antichrist is already here according to 1 John. And Ephesians chapter 5, the mystery of the bride of Christ. Who are we? We are a bride being prepared for a huge wedding where we will meet the bridegroom and we will come before him holy and acceptable to the Lord. Amen. So he begins to share this and break it down. I've debated with using this analogy. Because I'm not endorsing it, and I'm not preaching against it. But many of you know the Masons, right? You understand that's sort of a secretive organization. And you don't get to know the knowledge until you get in. When you get in, they begin to tell you who they are and what they believe and what they stand for, good or bad. It's the knowledge is revealed after you accept it and get in. That's sort of the way Christ is. Because see, you could read the first part of that and you could say, I don't understand why he doesn't reveal his knowledge to everyone so everybody could accept him. And that sounds, in our minds, that makes sense, right? Why doesn't he just, because he doesn't cast his pearl before swine. You have to come before the Lord in faith. You have to say, I believe that he is. I believe that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So as you come to Jesus in faith and you say, I believe you really are the Son of God. You try that. Accept Jesus as the Son of God. Be born again and then try reading your word. The mysteries start unfolding. You will begin to understand things that you have never understood before. Why? Because now his spirit is in you. And he relates spirit to spirit. Not, listen to this. He does not relate to you spirit to mind. He goes spirit to spirit. You accept it by faith. It takes a while sometimes to hit this. Right? There's a large difference between this and this. Right? So sometimes you'll get stuff in your spirit, but it still won't make sense to the old head. It's like tithing. I use tithing because I think everybody struggles a little bit with that. When you get saved and you hear the preacher preach that we believe in tithing, you think, you may, but I don't. I ain't giving my money to that church. I'm not going to make that preacher rich. We believe we're supposed to keep you poor and humble. Well, you don't supply my need. God supplies my need. And you don't give your tithe to me. You give it to the kingdom. You give it to the Lord. You know why? Because I can't make you a promise. But he can. So when you sow your seed into the kingdom, God says, I will rebuke the devourer and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon you. I can't say that to you. I can't do anything for you. That's His promise. So to some of you, you say, oh yeah, I understood that long time ago and I've been walking in that promise and I've seen the blessing of God. To others of you, you think, I don't care how hard you preach that, preacher. It ain't happening. And to you, I just say, I hope God reveals it to you because you're really missing a blessing. Tithing is not about, it's about you. It's about God being able to bring a blessing in your life. He's not trying to get something from you. He's trying to give something to you. So he goes on, he says, okay, the first thing you need to know is the sower is sowing the word of God. That guy, now you got to think about this. They understood agriculture. Most of you are going to get up and go to your jobs tomorrow, but very few of you will get up and get on a tractor. And they didn't either. But they got behind a donkey or an oxen or something. They understood farming because that's the way they were raised. That's the way they existed. Why did God bring them a parable about a farmer? Because they got it. They understood that way of life. And he said, that sower is sowing the word of God. That's exactly what I'm doing today. I am taking the word of God and I'm slinging it out. And it's hitting all types of ground. And then he breaks that down. He begins to say, some of that seed is going to land on the wayside soil. What was the wayside soil? The wayside soil was pretty much where the farmer walked. And see, when he walked, he packed that ground down. And that seed is just going to lay there. And then you have a field, and some of the over here is just maybe weeds and stuff like that. It's not broken up at all. And some of that's going to land over there on that wayside soil. It's just hard. Do you know why we start the church services with worship? Because worship breaks up the fallow ground. That's what the Word of God says. What's that mean? It takes your heart. You see, we come in here in all different kinds of attitudes, from all different kinds of mornings. Some of you had your coffee. Some of you probably missed it. Some of you look like you missed that hour of sleep. Some of you are dazed, some of you are wide awake and you're receptive and you're just hanging on to the word. Others like, I really hope he hurries today. What is that? That's showing your soil. You see, in this service today, we will have all four types of soil. And you may come in today and because the word and the songs and the worship has broken up the ground of your heart, you are number four. You are receptive and you're broken up and boy, you're ready to receive the word of God. But Wednesday night, you may come in like number one. You may be the waste. You see what I'm trying to say? Just because you're born again doesn't mean that you're always the good type of soil. A lot of times we're closed. A lot of times you come into church fighting with your wife. Some of you are thinking, was he in our car? Screaming at the kids. The morning has been hectic and you are here today and your heart is wayside. You know what I might as well say? You're wasting your time. You might as well be at home. But you could change right now. You could say, God, break up my heart. I don't want to sit through one service where the seed of the Word of God doesn't penetrate. So he said, the first one is so hard, that seed is going to lay on top of the ground. And then the birds of the air are going to fly in and they're going to eat that seed. That's just bird food is all it is. It's not even the Word of God. It's just bird food. Don't feed the birds this morning. Let the Word of God penetrate in your heart. So who is that stealer? Who is that bird represents? Satan come to kill, steal, and destroy. See, we always think he's after our goods. He's after my money. I'm going to tell you what he's after. Number one, he's after the Word of God coming to your heart. Because he understands more than you do. It's the Word of God that changes your life. So he says, if I can steal the Word of God before it ever penetrates the soil of their heart, I got them. They will get nothing from this sermon. They will get nothing from this service. They have just spent an hour and a half of their time wasted, and oh, that makes me happy. Don't make Satan happy today. The second type of soil, he says, is stony ground. He says the dirt is shallow. Why? Because somebody didn't go in and break it up, and they didn't remove the rocks. See, if you ever go to Israel, you're going to see one thing, I promise you, lots of rocks. I mean, that's the stoniest, rockiest ground you'll ever see in your life. There's rocks everywhere. Matter of fact, you know, we call Jesus a carpenter. The truth of the matter is, he probably was a mason, not a carpenter. Because they built out of stone a whole lot more than they did out of wood. Why? Because stone was plentiful. So if you say, hey, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to put my garden out here this next year, well, you're going to have to prepare that before you're ever going to put a plow in it. You're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to spend some time getting the rocks out so that you've got a depth of soil that the roots can go down. Now let's apply that spiritually. Sometimes you've got to get some things out of your life so that the Word of God can bear fruit. Hatred, unforgiveness. There's things that we live with that are not pleasing with God. Why? Is he mad at you? No. He wants to bless you. God wants to see you do well. And you're not going to do well as long as these rocks are there because his seed can't penetrate. He said, oh, they received the seed with gladness. Come on, you've been in church for a while. You guys have seen people get saved and, woo, man, this is the greatest thing. And 3 months, they're gone. What happened? The sun scorched them because they had no root. Did you read that word? These are the ones sown on the stony ground. They hear the word, they receive it with gladness, but they have no root, so they only endure for a short time. Afterward, listen, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, he doesn't say if. He doesn't say if that tribulation and if that persecution comes, they're not going to stand. He says, when it comes. Can I have an anointed word for you today? It's coming, baby. You may be on the mountaintop this morning, but I just want to let you know, this is just a great word from God. Persecution and tribulation's on its way for you, baby. Get ready. It comes for us all. Because of who we are, people are not going to like you because you have accepted Jesus Christ. Oh, you don't understand, Pastor. We've been friends for 30 years. Yeah, you just watch it. You're different now. The persecution, it will come. Why? Because of the Word. Persecution and tribulation. Think it not strange, my brethren, when you fall into divers temptation. That's what James said, right? Think it not strange. It's not strange you're having problems. You're going to have problems. I promise you, as a man of God, problems are on their way. That just makes me happy. Why? Because you will live and die as a baby in Christ if you don't have problems and tribulations. They only come to make me strong. Jesus, oh, this. Jesus loves you so much. He's going to send you a present. And it's going to be the biggest problem you ever faced in life. And if your roots are not deep, it'll take you out. You got to cling to Him during the problems. Doesn't make sense, I know. You'd think, well, golly, come on. That just doesn't make sense to me. Let Him reveal it then. The Word of God, the Bible says in Jeremiah that God watches over His Word to perform it. In Isaiah, He says that God's Word will not return void, but it will accomplish what I please or what I purpose. In Isaiah, He says that God's Word is not... I just said that. I read this statement. I wanted to include it today. The Word of God is not a product of elevated human intellect. It wasn't written by a bunch of highly intelligent guys. It was God-breathed. Oh. See, if you understood that, you wouldn't wait for Sunday for the preacher to sow the Word. You would pick it up all through the week and you would say, I'm sowing it into my own life. I'm going to be the sower and the recipient today. Why? Because it's alive. It's the only book that is absolutely living. It's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between the soul and the spirit. The Word of God. Psalms 119, verse 89. He says, your Word is established forever. When we get to heaven, do you know what we'll talk about? The Word of God. Oh, Jesus, I remember when you told me this. When you gave me this verse, and man, it took me through a hard season. It won't it be neat just to saunter up to King David and say, hey, buddy, what'd it feel like when you killed Goliath? You know, what happened? Hey, Moses, what happened when you held that rod over the Red Sea? We are going to rehearse the faithfulness of God for eternity. And it will not get boring and it will not get old. The third type of soil is, I believe, maybe the largest type of soil in the church today. And it's the thorny ground. It's the soil is good, but it's got competition. See, there's a lot of other things growing in your garden. And soil has nutrients. And your seed needs those nutrients to grow. But it's being stolen because of the other things that's in your life. He says, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. You know, John Bevere, I believe, is the one that says, you know what's so bad about deception? It's deceiving. You don't realize it. The deceitfulness of riches is so deceiving that it has slipped itself into the church of God. To where now we have more preachers preaching about you getting rich than you getting poor. I believe God wants you poor in spirit. The riches will take care of themselves. Do you see what I'm saying? We've actually made it part of our foundation of who the Christian church is. The deceitfulness of riches. I don't serve money, guys. And if you don't serve it, God will take care of it. Amen. Don't seek out money. He says that the cares of this life, and I think the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches go hand in hand. You know, there are several of you in the church today that you're in the middle of raising children. God bless your heart. I understand that's a difficult time. You know, I think of the Meltons, they got three little girls, doop, 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 and expecting another one. I think that's all right to share that. You didn't hear it here. Don't you know life is busy? You know, Michael Melton gets up and he's at work at 4:30 in the morning right across the street, right across our driveway. 4:30 in the morning. He leaves that job about 8:30 or 9. He goes to the second job. He works till about 6 o'clock at night, sometimes 7. He goes home. He eats supper with his kids. He falls in bed. He's back up at 3:30 in the morning. You think life's not busy for that young man? 25 years old. I have the utmost respect for him. Because he is a daddy. I love that. Let me... There's no higher marks than being a daddy. Being a father. Being a mama. God doesn't call you to a higher level than that. And that's off the subject. Christianity fails to make an impact of some, not because they're hostile to it, but because they're indifferent. They think it's irrelevant. Guys, wake up. You understand. Same every time we come together and the word is sowed, every time you hear a message on the sermon, Satan is fighting you. He is going to try to distract you. He's going to try to bring things in your mind. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from receiving the word. That's why the scripture says you've got to take your thoughts captive. I'm telling you, you know, you have now, some of you have now have listened to me for 5 years. God bless your hearts. I pity you myself. I really do. I think, I cannot stand to listen to my own voice. I never get those CDs because I don't want to hear it. I'm just like, oh, my voice is great on my own nerves. I know what it does to you. But you know, it's not about me. It's about receiving from Him. So you take captive your thoughts. You have to say, I will get beyond Eric. Bless God. And I will listen to what the Spirit of God is saying today. And I mean that. I really mean that. Why? Because they choke off the word. Those cares, that deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things will choke the word off so it has no fruit in your life. The last thing is good ground. Ground that has been broken. Ground that has been plowed and disked. And it's ready. It's fertilized. It's ready to receive the seed so the roots can go deep. So that it can bear fruit in your life. So that you will be effective and productive in every area of your life. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. You understand that? God wants you to be a great mother, but He wants you to be a great sister. He wants you to be a great co-worker. He wants you to be great in every area of your life. He wants to just sow the seed so that you can be productive in every area of your life. Not just one. Not just so we can shout when we get together. So that on Monday morning when you go to work and that girl right next door to you says, "My husband left me yesterday. My heart is broken. I don't know what's going on." You say, "I've got a word for you. Because I've been in the presence of Jesus. And my life is filled with fruit." It's not just about you. How can we change Henry County if we just keep getting fatter and fatter with the Word of God? Oh, I love church. Oh, it's so good. But you never share it. You never give it out. If you get a revelation from God, it's not supposed to die with you. Give it to someone else. Call your sister this afternoon. Call your friend. Call somebody and say, "You know what God told me today?" I love how he says, if the ground is good, the seed is always good. Don't worry about the seed. Just get your heart right. The seed is always great. And it will bear fruit in your life. 30, 60, 100-fold. That's not percent. It's fold. It means something different. A farmer doesn't go in and sows a piece of corn to get one ear or one grain. He'd be stupid. He sows that one to get many. That's what he wants to do in our life. So what does it take for the Word of God to flourish in your heart? Number one, you got to hear it. You're going to have to quiet yourself. You do that great in church. You're very quiet. You listen. But do you do it in a alone time? Do you have an alone time? This world that we live in is so noisy. You got to quiet it down. You got to have some solitude in your life. Some of you absolutely hate solitude. I have a problem with that. You should like solitude. I was so busy before I started full time. When I went full time at this church, it about drove me crazy. I would sit in that office, bored stiff. Like, oh geez, here I am for another day. Oh, what will I do? Why? Because I didn't have solitude. Man, when I was running the Senior Citizen Center and pastoring this church, I didn't have a free moment. You could ask this woman. I could not get off my schedule. I spent Monday night and Tuesday night to prepare for Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday to prepare for Sunday, and Saturday night, prayer. I mean, I was always like, just let me go. Just always moving in that. So when I got solitude, I'm like, what am I doing with this time? Turn the radio off. Quiet everything down. And then quiet yourself. You say, hey, mind, shut up. I'm going to spend a few moments with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may have to do it in the bathroom, some of you, because it's the only time when maybe you get a little bit of alone time. Just go sit on the toilet. It don't matter if you got a job to do or not. Just go sit there and people will leave you alone. Ain't nobody going in there with you. Quiet your world down. Number two is you got to receive it. You got to say, okay, Lord, I'm receiving. I'm in that receptive mode. Pour it on, Jesus. You know, anytime you hear something new, you know what you first do? I don't know about this Pentecostal thing. I don't know about, they're just a little strange. What do you think about a 16-year-old girl that an angel would appear to and say, hey, you're going to be pregnant. And she said, I don't know a man. I have never laid with a man. I've never been sexually active. That cannot happen. And he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. You see, this has happened about 1,000 times in history. No. This is the first and the only time. You talk about strange. The Holy Ghost is going to impregnate me. I don't understand that. And that's what Mary said. Oh, you know what it says? She didn't say, get thee behind me, Satan. She says she pondered those things in her heart. See, you're going to hear things that God is going to reveal in this book that's not going to make sense to you. Don't say, uh-uh. Just ponder it. Because God is so gracious. You don't have to get it the first time. He'll come back and he'll water that seed. And then you know what he does? He'll send somebody else. I think this is an amazing thing. I can't tell you how many Sunday school teachers have come to me after church, and they'll say something like this: "You know, I taught your lesson in my Sunday school class. I taught the very thing that you taught on in church. I taught it." What's happening? God is sending one after another. Why? Because somebody needed to hear that message. You may be talking to your sister this afternoon and say, "Our preacher preached this." Well, our preacher preached that too. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because there's one Holy Ghost. It's got a message for the church. Quiet yourself. And then you tell yourself, "I will receive it." And the third thing is, you've got to put it into action. So when the Lord shows you that tithing really is from Him, there's sometimes when the rubber has to hit the road. There's sometimes when you're eventually going to say, "Okay, Lord, I get it. I ain't doing nothing about it, but I get it. I'll say, okay, that really is a teaching from you. I understand. I see it in the Word of God. I see it. I accept it." And Jesus says, "That ain't good enough. You got to do it." See, the blessing comes in obedience. It's when you apply the Word of God. You see, it didn't help you to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God until you said, "Lord, I repent. Come into my heart." You had to do something. Faith always requires action. Your faith will make you do something. James talks about that all through his word. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, he says, "Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he'll reap. He who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let's not get weary while we're doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as you have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those of the household of faith." Keep going. Say, "You don't understand. My prime has left me. I don't care." And I don't mean that disrespectful. I mean, if you can fog a mirror, do something for God. You see, I don't believe God makes any mistakes. You are putting both feet on the ground. God still has purpose for you. So do something. Be productive. Let the seed bear fruit in your heart. Okay, one more thing. He said, this is the key to all the parables. So let's sum this up. One, life's all about sowing and reaping. That's one of the big keys of this sermon, is life is all about sowing and reaping. If there's an area in your life that is short, start sowing to it. Say, "I just don't have friends." Start sowing it. Start being friendly. The reason some of you don't have friends is because you look like a knot on a log. It's not that hard to do this. "Hey, nice to meet you." That's not hard. Show yourself friendly. Somebody will like you, I promise. Life's all about sowing and reaping. Number two, nothing will change your life like the Word of God. You see, we have all kinds. You go to the library, you go to a bookstore, and go to the self-help section. Oh my goodness. We have so many books on how to improve you. And you know what every one of them will do? They try to improve the outside and go inside. It says, if you'll take care of this action, if you'll practice this for 21 days, it will become a habit and you'll be done with it all. If you just quit smoking for 21 days, you broke it. And everybody that has ever smoked in your life knows that's a lie. Because you can stop for 21 days and you get around someone smoking a cigarette and you'll think, "Can I just have one puff?" And you're hooked again. You see, all that man can do is try to take care of the actions, but God says, no, you've got to go into the heart first. Man will try to change you from the outside in. God changes you from the inside out. You want to change the fruit on the tree, you got to change the root of the tree. That apple tree will always produce apples until you change the root. So what's that mean, Pastor? That means if you're a mean person, you're always going to be mean and angry until God changes your roots. I don't care how much. I could put a shock collar on Tony or Tommy, and every time he cusses, and it will not help. Now, it'll help as long as he knows I got that button. Tommy will be looking over. Is he listening? But God says, no, let's go down into that heart and let's see why Tommy cusses. And let me change some roots. Let me put love where there's hatefulness. Let me take the unforgiveness out and put some forgiveness for others. And all of a sudden, Tommy goes a few weeks and says, I don't talk like I used to talk. Why? Because God works from the inside out by the seed of the Word of God. And number three, I want you to ask yourself, is my heart receptive? I wish I could say there's a time in your life. If you've been serving Jesus for over 50 years, you don't have to worry about this one anymore. It's just not true. I don't care how long you've been serving Jesus. You still got to prepare your heart to receive the seed. Each and every day. Every time you come to church, you got to say, God, prepare my heart. I want to be receptive today. Every time on your daily devotion. How many times have you had a devotion where you went through the motions? Plenty of times. And then there's some times when I go in and I say, Jesus, I just want to quiet myself. And I just want to say, I love you. I worship you. And I'm getting ready to read your word, which is spiritual. Will you reveal it to me? And I open that word and I'll read something that I've read 1,000 times. And all of a sudden, I'll see something glorious. Why? Because he reveals it by his spirit. If you don't understand the word of God, it's not because you're stupid. That was somebody. That was for somebody. Did you hear it? If you don't get it, it's not because you're stupid. It's because you're not getting in his presence first so that he can reveal it. God's word is revealed to you through your spirit, and then it hits your head. Stand with me. Thank you for being so receptive today. I know that this is a sermon that I'm sure you've heard many times. With your head bowed, your eyes closed, I've got to ask you a question. Is your life fruitful? Is the seed taking course? Is it bearing fruit in your life? Or do you feel unproductive? Let me ask it this way. Do you ever feel like God just put you on a shelf? Man, there was a time when God really used me. But you know what? Lately, I just feel like God's not using me at all. I just feel like God doesn't even know my name anymore. Can I just speak to you for a second and say that's a lie from the pit of hell? God knows you by name. God knows your heart. And it's very possible that's what's happened is your heart has not been prepared to receive the seed lately. And God wants to prepare your heart with just an uplifted hand. Can we make it a prayer? Say, God, would you help me to prepare my heart to receive you? Anybody want to lift your hand on that? I want to lift both of mine. It's possible that you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't understand the Word of God, and it's because I've never accepted Him as my Savior. I've never asked Jesus into my heart. I can think of no greater day, no better day than to do that today. So if you're here today and you say, I've never surrendered my heart to Jesus, with an uplifted hand, I'd like to lead you in prayers. Anybody here says, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Father God, I pray for these people. I thank you, Lord, for their attentiveness. I thank you, Father, that I know the Spirit of God was speaking to individuals today. Lord, they were receptive. They were hearing you. And I pray, Lord, Father, we know that 75% of the soil that you talked about becomes unproductive. We want to be that 25%. We want to be that soil that receives the seed, that grows, that becomes effective and productive for the kingdom. So, Father, we yield ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to you. You said, Lord, that if we will resist the devil, if we'll submit ourselves to you, Lord, that you would come and he would leave. Father, that's what we're doing. We want Satan to leave. We want you to come and be Lord. Jesus, I pray for that person that believes you forgot their name. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, by the Spirit of God, that you would show your grace and your mercy to that person today. That they would feel, Lord, not the omnipresence, but the manifest presence of the Spirit of God in their heart today. I know we don't walk by feelings, Lord, but sometimes we need to feel it. We need to feel you. I ask you, Lord, call them by name. Let them know that you still remember who they are. And help them, Lord, to understand, to prepare their heart for your presence. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Mark chapter 4. I thank you for the revelation of this parable. I ask you, Lord, that each one of us would begin to prepare our hearts every time your word is sown so that we would be effective and productive. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor.